The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he see now?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure you've all heard the saying about not being able to see the forest for the trees. One of the challenges of this morning's lengthy text is that it's easy to get so caught up in the many details of the narrative that you miss seeing the primary point. As the 41 verses are read, one interesting question or pithy phrase can capture your attention, and you can lose track of the big picture. Yet St. John clearly records this as a single, cohesive narrative, not simply a collection of vignettes loosely grouped around a man born blind who now sees. So what is the shape of this forest? What is the primary point of this narrative the Spirit inspired John to record in precisely this way? It's tempting to say that in its most basic form, this is an account of a miracle. A miracle in which Jesus gave sight to a blind man. Yet that's certainly not the main thing John wants us to see here. Recall that in his gospel, he never uses the word miracle. When he records a miracle, he always describes it as a sign, that is, something that points to who Jesus is. If John had been interested simply in reporting a miracle, he could have stopped after verse 7 and saved himself a full 34 verses. Of these, fully 27 report on the interrogation of the formerly blind man. And these verses reveal the blindness of the Pharisees, that they are culpable for their rejection of Jesus. It's not until verse 35 that John gets to the real point of his account, with Jesus seeking out the man who now sees, revealing himself to him as the Son of Man, and then speaking judgment on those who say they see, but are actually blind. When Jesus and his disciples came upon a man who had been blind from birth, who was begging in Jerusalem, they saw an effect, but wondered about the cause. Recognizing that sight is a blessing from God, they thought blindness must be a curse, a sign of divine displeasure. But displeasure at who, they wondered. So they asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus' response shows that his disciples, who had been following him and learning from him now for nearly 3 years, didn't have a clue. It's true that before the fall into sin, there was no sickness or death or blindness in the world. But the Lord sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. Most of the time, there's no direct connection between the sorrows and misfortunes people experience and the particular sins that they've committed. Jesus rejects the linkage the disciples suggested and says, "This man was born blind, that the works of God might be displayed in him." That the works of God might be displayed in him? Never in a million years would the disciples have given that as the reason why this man had been born blind. That the works of God might be displayed in him. We see them displayed as the account continues. First, using the same raw materials from which God fashioned Adam in the garden, a bit of moistened earth, Jesus smears it on this man's defective eyes, repairing the fault and allowing him, once he had washed off that mud, to see for the first time in his life. If you saw the flicker of a baptismal shadow here, you weren't seeing things. Through your parents and the church, Jesus also sent you to water, to be washed. But in baptism, he gave you something much more precious than physical sight. Born a slave to Satan, dead in trespasses and sin, you came out of the water of holy baptism, born again, born from above as a child of God, and therefore as an heir of heaven. But the display of God's works didn't end with this man born blind seeing. For as a result of this miracle, we see further works of God revealed. We see the Word of God living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Through the testimony of this man concerning the miracle Jesus performed on him, we see people either trusting God or taking positions against him. Jesus is the light of the world. His life was the light of men. He came to his own, but many of his own did not receive him. In coming, he made the Father known, but those who rejected him rejected the Father who sent him. The one who rejects the Son and does not receive his words as a judge. The word which the Son has spoken will judge him on the last day. That's what's going on when the Pharisees interview the now seeing man. They put him under oath. Give glory to God, that is, tell the truth. We know that this man is a sinner. The man responds, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And then later, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. But they reject his testimony. They answered him, you were born in utter sin. Did they mean because he was born blind? And would you teach us? Of course, in a sense, they were correct. And not only had he been born in utter sin, he had been sinful from the moment of his conception. But so had they. And so have you and I. King David confessed as much in Psalm 51. Rightly, the whole sinful human race, descended from Adam and Eve, deserves nothing but punishment, both here in this life and then eternally in hell. From the perspective of Scripture, bad things don't happen to good people. Because according to God's holy standards, there aren't any good people. It's only by God's mercy that anyone is ever born, able to see and to hear and to talk with working arms and legs and ability to reason. But the Pharisees didn't see this. And so they threw the man born blind out of the synagogue. They excommunicated him. They refused to believe the testimony of the sign Jesus had performed, that he had indeed come from God, and God was with him. For without that, he could not have done the sign. When God sought a servant to be his messenger, and Isaiah answered him, here am I, send me. The Lord commissioned him, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Jesus used these words of the prophet to explain why he spoke in parables. And here we see that same dynamic being played out. The Pharisees have Moses and the prophets who testified of Jesus. They have a man born blind who can now see, who testifies concerning the works of God displayed in him. Many had the opportunity to hear Jesus preaching and teaching from his own lips, things into which angels long to look. And yet they hardened their hearts against him. All of these benefits, and yet they did not believe. The human heart, your heart, has the terrible ability to reject the Savior, to be deaf to his words and blind to his works, to prioritize its own desires and understanding above his saving will and work for you. The terrible ability to turn against him and even wish him dead. What a terrible tragedy these Pharisees brought upon themselves. Jesus came to save them, But they rejected him, and so they remained in their guilt. This is a sobering teaching, one which should cause us to pray the Lord for discernment and humility, to pray that he would deliver us from false belief that would cause us to turn away from him and leave us in our sin. But notice that even here, the works of God are displayed. In their rebellion against the Lord and his anointed, the Pharisees ironically are cooperating in accomplishing the works of God. Because of their opposition and hostility, Jesus was delivered to the cross. The altar where is the Lamb of God, he shed his blood for the sin of the world. The throne on which he was raised to establish a gracious rule. These are the greatest works of God. Works by which he crushed the ancient serpent's head. Works by which he rendered Satan's venom harmless. The works by which he earned forgiveness for your sins, washed away your guilt, finished and accomplished your salvation. The opposition didn't stop Jesus from doing his work, from finishing his task, from accomplishing his mission. He found the man whom the Pharisees had excommunicated from the synagogue and revealed himself. There is judgment for those who reject him, but forgiveness and life for all who rely on him, who believe in him and worship him. That is, who receive and cling to his gifts that he gives, his body and blood shed for you, his washing of rebirth and renewal by water and the word, his word of pardon and promise, his light, his life, his salvation. Because Jesus gave this man sight, he saw hardship and trial and suffering. The servant is not greater than his master, Jesus taught. As the Savior faced opposition, so all who follow him will be afflicted by difficulty and sickness and disappointment in this world. But Jesus has warned us that this would occur and has promised that even as we experience mockery, sickness, and death in this world, he is with us in everything that comes to us. He promises us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All things will work together for good, your eternal good, for those who are called according to my purpose. And no earthly hardship, indeed, nothing in all of creation will be able to separate you from God's love for you in him. You are his. He has saved you. Rejoice in the works of God, works that Jesus did for you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.